so much has been made lately of the soccer mom. At least that's what they used to call her, the soccer mom. That average American woman living in the suburbs, driving her kid here and there. She's not young, she's not old. She is a mom. She has children, but she's busy. That's the main thing about the soccer mom. She's a busy woman between husband and perhaps parents and children and friends and school and all the other things pulling upon her. Does she have time to remain informed? You know, the pollsters, when it comes to presidential elections, they are they're really concerned about the soccer mom. They want to make sure she is informed so that she'll vote for their candidate. How does a woman living in the information age today remain informed? We're going to be talking about that here in the first hour of Issues Etc. For the second day in a row, Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us here in Studio A to take your questions and your comments. That's what we'd like here in this hour, your questions, your comments, especially from you women. How do you stay informed? What is your main source of information? Is it the Internet? Is it television? Is it talk radio? Is it the newspaper? How do you get your information and how do you stay informed? We want to hear from you. And what do you feel like is most important? What subject is the most important for you to remain informed on? Our call-in number is 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Now, very briefly, the rest of the lineup. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery joins us in the next hour of the program, part five of our eight-part series on Christianity and civil law. Today, we'll talk about human dignity in law. Then, in the third hour of the program, a number of guests. First, Dr. Russell Moore of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary will be our guest. We'll talk about abortion and the human conscience. He's actually written a column for Baptist Press titled Aborting the Conscience. Then, Eric Johnson will join us from Mormonism Research Ministry. Did you know that the Illinois legislature passed a resolution that accepted blame for the inhospitable actions that were taken in the 19th century against the Mormon people? We'll talk with Eric Johnson about that. Then we'll round off today's program. Stephanie Gray will join us for the Center for Bioethical Reform. We're going to be talking about these box trucks that you might have seen driving around St. Louis with pictures of aborted babies. What's going on there? We'll find out with Stephanie Gray there in the very last 25 minutes of Issues, Etc. Now, the best callers in this first hour will receive a CD featuring Jennifer Roback-Morse, our guest in this hour, titled Myths About the Sexual Revolution. Myths About the Sexual Revolution. And they'll also receive Jennifer's booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. That's for every caller here, for the best callers here in the first hour of Issues, Etc. We're talking about staying informed in an information age. 505-7850-1800-730-2727. Jennifer Roback-Morse joins us here in Studio A. She's a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of the book Love and Economics, Why the Laissez-Faire Family Doesn't Work. And she's also written that booklet I mentioned, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Jennifer, welcome back.
I'm glad to be back, Todd.
I'm thinking about that soccer mom. How important is it for her, when she's got everything else in her life pulling at her, how important is it for her, the typical woman in America, to stay informed?
Well, you know, I talk to so many new moms who have advanced degrees sometimes, they're well-educated, basically well-informed women, and they're frustrated about this point, you know. And what put me over the edge is I was talking to a friend of mine who has a PhD in American history, and she wrote her dissertation on some obscure 19th century Anglican figure, and she admitted to me that she had never finished reading Love and Economics, even though she's sympathetic with the subject matter. She has every capacity to understand every word in the book. It's not that there's anything wrong with her. But after I had that conversation, I said, doggone it, if Lenore hasn't had time to read this book, there are a lot of women that I want to talk to out there who simply don't have the time to read the material in the form that I'm presenting it. And that's what put it into my mind that I need to start talking to more soccer moms, to more educated moms, about what format is going to work for them. Is a booklet the way to go? Is, you know, something small you can keep in your purse? Is something you can read while you have your few moments of privacy behind the bathroom door? Do you need a CD that you can listen to in the car while the kids are in the backseat of the car throwing Cheerios at each other? Or just what? How is it going to fit into the rhythm of the modern woman's life? Because I know for a fact that there are a lot of women who wish they were reading more books than they're reading, who wish that they were getting more information than they're getting. And the question for me is, how do I get information out there to that particular audience.
Folks, we'd like to hear from you moms. How do you get your information? How do you stay informed in an information age? Is it talk radio that informs you? What about the television news or the local newspaper, the news magazines that come out every week? Books might be one of those things. Give us a call, 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Or is it the Internet that serves as your primary source? After all, with the Internet, you can go online just about any time, day or night, and get some information, whereas with television or the newspaper, you might not have the access there. We want to hear from you, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And how important is it for you to remain informed in an information age? Let's talk about a couple of those venues where people get their information. The newspaper used to be the source of information, not only for women, but for men as well. It used to be the standard source of information before we even had television. I'm reading a biography of Theodore Roosevelt, and it's amazing how important in that day and age, at the turn of the, from the 19th to the 20th centuries, how important the newspaper was for keeping everyone informed. It was the Internet of the day. Do you think that's still a good source for women? What are the drawbacks?
Well, I think the newspaper, you know, in the old days, people don't realize this, but most newspapers during the 19th century were published by political parties. And so most communities would have a Democratic newspaper and a Republican newspaper, and everybody knew who published which newspaper and what it meant and what sorts of things you could expect to see in that newspaper. So the newspapers are no longer as competitive as they once were, and so therefore your town is dominated by whoever happens to own the local newspaper, and that's a completely different reality for people, and that's why people have shifted out of newspapers and into other forms of information, because lots of people are just fed up with their local newspaper, and so they're looking for some other way of getting informed. So that's one feature. The other feature, of course, is a newspaper isn't all that convenient. I mean, you have to have your newspaper. I don't want to denigrate newspapers, but it's not all that convenient because it's big and it's bulky, and when you're done with it, you throw it away and you recycle it. And so for a lot of people, the newspaper has been supplanted by the Internet, by talk radio, by radio TV news, and each one of those has its own unique advantages and sometimes disadvantages.
I'm wondering about, see, we don't take a newspaper at home because I'm required to go through so many newspapers during the course of a day getting ready for a program like this that the last thing I want to see at home is a newspaper lying around. But I have found in the Internet age, the newspaper is always kind of behind the times. I can get the information much faster. And by the time I read it in the newspaper, it's almost as though someone sent it to me by carrier pigeon. It seems, although it's only hours old, it seems that old to me. To what degree has this desire to have instant, the latest information hampered people's information, the ability for women to live in an information age?
Well, I think just what you say. What's happening to us is that we have to have up to the minute news with the little ticker running across the bottom of CNN. I mean, CNN itself isn't even good enough. We have to have the ticker going across there to bring us right up to date. Of course, it should be said that a lot of what comes over the wire service like that is a little bit hyped. It's not really all that new. It's not really all that important. But what ends up happening is that if you write a column for a weekly newspaper, you can't write about truly current events. You have to write what they call an evergreen column, a column that will keep for a couple of weeks, because just the cycle of producing a weekly newspaper, it just ain't going to be news by the time it gets from your desk and into the print and into the person's hand. So there are many places where it has changed the whole cycle of the news. And quite frankly, a lot of what goes on in the modern media isn't so much information as it is entertainment and stimulation. You know, it's like, oh my gosh, did you see this new statement that has come out from so-and-so? And, oh, the other person denied it. Oh my gosh, it's news. It's exciting. Well, it's just entertainment. It's like sitting in front of a slot machine waiting to see whether 10 nickels come out. You know, it's not really information. It's not really substance. And so I think that there's a hunger for real information, more substantial stuff that you can sink your teeth in, that you can think about, that you would feel it's something substantial enough you'd want to change your life about, or you would want to mold your life to. Most of what comes out over the media, of course, you don't want to. Programs like this, I think, serve a great purpose, because you guys are not chasing the news cycle in the way that a lot of talk shows are. You're trying to appeal to the thinking Christian. That's why I wanted to talk to your listeners about what kinds of things really work for them if they want to get in-depth information.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Where do you get your information in an information age? I mean, it's kind of a funny question to ask, because if you think about living in an information age, you shouldn't have to worry about getting information. You'd be bombarded by it.
Yes.
So people are less informed than they ever have been. Now, we typically do not take calls in the first half hour of a program, but we will today. 505-7850. 1-800-730-2727. You spoke just a moment ago, Jennifer, about the illusion of information that infotainment, that's the word that so many people use, provides people. They watch a half hour of the local news or the cable news, and they get the feeling that they've been informed, but they haven't really necessarily been informed. Is there another illusion of information or being informed in talk radio when all that's happening is sloganeering or cheerleading on a certain subject?
I think that certainly goes on in a lot of cases. And sometimes on the very same program, you know, you'll have a program where, you know, with one of the leading hosts, where part of the program is quite substantial new stuff you've never heard anyplace else. But then the next half hour will be cheerleading for a candidate or something, you know. So I there's no question that there's a lot of that out there. And I think people do need to slow down. You need to have the opportunity to slow down and absorb what they're hearing or reading or learning, so that they can sift the good stuff from the mere cheerleading. I mean, I think it's good always to slow the whole process down, so you can have a chance to think. Now, you were saying you don't get a newspaper. I don't have TV in my house. I mean, that really makes us weird, not to say freaks, that we don't have TV. I mean, it's a kind of a I'm almost on the media as under false pretenses that I should be doing a broadcast when I don't have TV myself. But I'm loyal to radio, you see. I think radio is a great medium.
Okay, so then how do you, most people would say, without a television, how do you stay on top of what's going on in the world around you?
It is just amazing that somehow the information I need just seems to come into my world, even without the TV. You know, I knew Ronald Reagan died. I didn't see his casket go across the country and stuff. But I heard he died, you know. I found out about that. And I saw some good photos, some very nice still photos and so on. And, you know, you don't really need to be sucked in to, and that's why I don't have a TV. Even if TV were wonderful, which it's not, I'm the type of person I could easily get sucked in to paying much more attention to it than it deserves, and I have other things to do in my life, you know, and this is the case, I think, with your soccer mom, with our soccer moms that we're talking about. They've got other things to do besides sitting there glued to the TV or surfing the net, you know, click, 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 point, 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 you know, going from page to page. It's a lot of fun, you know, it stimulates your little neural receptors or whatever it is, but, you know, you're not necessarily learning all that much or getting all that much out of the experience. So you know, I still like a good book every once in a while, but I'm weird. You know, I recognize that I'm probably not the typical person. That's why I need to hear from people about what kind of thing works for them.
So let's dispel that illusion, if we could, Jennifer. The illusion that is, if I have my PDA where I can get my instant Yahoo News, if I have my laptop, and I've been in airports where people cannot turn the thing off, you know, it's time to get in there, and they say, turn off your laptops, and people are still typing to the very last minute or searching for the last minute. If I have my telephone, my cable television, my internet, then I'm a well-informed person because I've got all the lines of communication open to me. I must be well-informed because I've got all these sources of information.
Just depends on what you've clicked into and what you're listening to and what you're watching. You know, the human capacity for self-deception is really something quite astonishing when you think about it. And the danger is that you get sucked into whatever the slogans are, whatever the hype is, and you're not really able to sift through it. And I think one of the reasons for the success of talk radio and the internet as conservative sources of news is that many people of traditional values and of more conservative fiscal principles even, we're just fed up with the major media. And when a more free market kind of news source became available, i.e. talk radio, lots of channels opened up, the internet opened up, those are the media that are dominated by conservative commentators and conservative sources of information. If you're just getting it from the major media, there's a whole world that you're missing out on. And that's one of the big dangers that we have in our mass culture, our mass media culture.
Folks, the best callers in this hour with Jennifer Roback Moore, she joins us here in Studio A, will receive a CD featuring Jennifer titled Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun. And they'll also receive Jennifer's new booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage, that also authored by Jennifer Roback Morse, our guest in this hour. It's Wednesday, August the 25th. Our call-in number is 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. We want to hear from you women. You men as well are also welcome to call. We're talking about where you get your information and how you stay informed in an information age. Let's talk about the internet. What is the downside of getting your information from the internet? If the upside is you can get it fast and easily, what's the downside?
Well, one of the downsides of the internet is that you only go to your favorite sites, and so all you get is just a hand. You get one perspective, and I do that. I'm as guilty as anybody. I have my handful of places I like to go and that I trust, or that frankly that make me feel good. You know, it's more fun to tune into somebody who speaks the way you speak, who has the point of view that you have. It's more fun to be reassured in a way of having your point of view endorsed. And I think a lot of what passes for information gathering or news is really people kind of patting themselves on the head. Oh, gee, I'm so smart because I agree with the talk show host. I really like to listen to that person because they make me feel good, because that person is more intelligent, can say intelligently what I believe, and that gives us kind of a buzz. Well, that's not the same thing as learning something, you know. And now, to be sure, often you do learn valuable stuff from the internet or talk radio because you learn more information, actual factual information, about the subject at hand. And that, it seems to me, is the best use of all these different media. We actually have somebody presenting something new and different to say, some supporting information. For instance, when I talk about love and economics, I'll talk to people about daycare and the kinds of problems that are associated with daycare. Well, there's factual information involved with that. We talk about divorce and some of the problems that children experience as a result of divorce. That's factual information. You won't necessarily get that anyplace else. Most people don't know that somewhere between two-thirds and three-quarters of divorces are initiated by women. That goes completely contrary to what most people believe is the truth. If you listen to the sort of noise of the culture, what's out there is these bad guys walking out on their wives and abandoning them. But in point of fact, most divorces are initiated by women. So there's substantial information that people need to get and that would really change the way you think about things once you get a few facts and then start digesting them and working with them a little bit.
Let's go to the phones. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll start today with Ann, who's calling from Crestwood. Ann, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to talk about newspapers. I am rather lackadaisical about reading them, I think because perhaps I have a reading comprehension problem, but I have a hard time reading and understanding the way stories are written in the paper. I don't know if that's just me or is it a particular style that they utilize. I'm a talk radio junkie like you are, Pastor Todd, and I have some station plugged into my head almost all day long trying to learn what's going on in the world. And I wondered if you would just comment on that, and I'll just listen.
Thank you very much, and it's an apropos question for Jennifer, being an author herself. How about comprehending how the newspaper delivers information to
If Ann is still on the line, I'd like to ask, and if she's not still on the line, because there is a certain style in which newspaper articles are written. They're supposed to put the most important facts first, and then as you read down, you get more detail. That's the way it's supposed to be written. But I have noticed that newspapers have become more and more sort of punchy. Many news stories read like editorials, I'm afraid, because of the way they pitch the information, and it's not till you get to the bottom of the article that you find out some crucial fact. And I've noticed that editorials now are shorter and more punchy, and if you don't grab the person, I know this is an editorial writer, if you don't grab the person in the first paragraph, forget it, they're going on to the comics. You know, and so the sort of frenetic pace of reading is really, I think, taking a toll on people's reading skills. So I don't think Anne should feel badly that she's having trouble reading that stuff.
I've noticed that, generally speaking, the headline will give you a basic fact in the good journalism. But the lead of the story often is a little more sensational. If you
yes.
want to find out exactly what did happen, rather than what someone said happened or the reaction to what happened, you do have to read down, and sometimes that's on page C4
that's
or something
right.
like
that's
that.
That's right. It's kind of cheap, actually. It's not quite fair.
Does television news suffer from the same kind of sensational thing, in which the sensational leads, the facts are often buried?
Well, now, Todd, you know you're asking the wrong person, because I just don't watch that stuff. I don't have any idea what television... I'm sure it's fine, though, isn't it? You watch it all the time, don't you? Isn't it just great?
All right. Someone says, look, my problem with being informed is I don't trust the media. And the media that I do trust, I don't know who to trust. How do you answer that?
Well, I feel that way myself. I don't think there is an answer to that, really. I mean, I think that's a fact of life, that many people do not trust the media. Journalism, print journalism particularly, has dug itself a hole in the last 5 years. They're not really particularly trustworthy. There have just been many instances of journalistic scandal where it's been quite plain that there's bias in the media and so on. And so I think it's not unusual that people feel that way. I don't think there really is an answer.
Now, before we go to this break, you wanted to say something to our listeners.
Well, yes, I wanted to just mention that we do have a special offer that we're running through Spence Publishing. If people are interested in we're not so much talking about the books, we're talking about different forms of getting information. But my book, Love and Economics, is available at Spence Publishing, as is the CD that you mentioned. And if people buy them both, they can also get the booklet for free. And I just want to mention to people that if they will go and get themselves a pencil and paper, when we come back from the break, I'll give people four magic words that will reduce your quarrels in your married life. I'm just going to give you one of the big tips out of the 101 Tips booklet. Four magic words. You just be ready after the break to write down those four magic words that will reduce by greatly the number of quarrels that you have in your family.
Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. She's a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, author of the book Love and Economics, Why the Laissez-Faire Family Doesn't Work, and she's written that booklet she mentioned. She'll give a bit of it to you when we come back, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Call during this break. The best callers will receive this booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage, and a CD featuring Jennifer Roback Morse, The Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. How important do you consider it for you to remain informed? If the pollsters are to be believed, the populace, when it comes to, say, the presidential election, just one issue among many, the populace of the United States, the voting public of the United States, when it comes to the presidential election, do not feel any strong need to get informed until about 3 weeks before the election. That's when people start paying attention. Up until that point, it's mostly sound and fury signifying nothing. Do you feel the need to be informed earlier than that? And if so, how do you get your information on not only the presidential election, the candidates, but all of the other things that are important in the world today? If you take time to watch the Olympics and find out who won the softball tournament, you should take time to find out other important things, too. We'll be right back.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
So many books on Christian prayer emphasize the Christian rather than prayer. They talk about praying the right prayer, the right way, with the right attitude. All the emphasis is on you. Is this what Christian prayer is really all about? How can you know that God is hearing and answering your prayers even when God seems silent and no answers seem to come? Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August is called Is God Listening? you can order Is God Listening by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the What's New section for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Is God Listening by Dr. Andrew Steinman. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Now stop and learn one way you can pray for Hindus. This Global Minute highlights how Hindus believe in a concept called Dharma, which they suppose will unite a soul with a supreme reality. Hindus value the personal qualities of self-control, honesty, and control of the senses. Dharma suggests a code of ethics for people to follow in their lives. Hindus don't believe in a personal God who has a solution for the real problem of sin. Their teachings state people must have a special ability, skill, and spiritual strength to reach God. This pursuit demands men and women shine spiritually and have physical prowess. Remember to pray for Hindus wherever they live, whether it's India, the Caribbean countries, North America, or Europe. Pray they'll discover the spiritual truth that all their efforts are futile and the only way to reach God is through a personal Savior, Jesus Christ. Read more about the basic Hindu beliefs by visiting the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. Why are Michael Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Scott Peterson, and Amber Fry getting so much attention when thousands of other trials go unnoticed? Favoritism by the media. These real-life legal soaps don't hurt ratings. The rest of us play the favoritism game as well. One Sunday when I was pulled over for speeding, I made sure the trooper saw my clerical collar on and my white robes hanging in the back. When Diane was stopped one Mother's Day, she asked the trooper if he didn't have a mother. One trooper showed favoritism, the other didn't. Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike, says Deuteronomy 1:15. That command to ancient Israel was rooted in the impartiality of God, something the New Testament affirms. God the Father, says 1 Peter 1:17, judges each man's work impartially. Funny, we see the games played in celebrity trials, but often don't see the rationalizations we use to excuse ourselves. Oswald Chambers said, "Repentance does not bring a sense of sin, but a sense of unutterable unworthiness." Unless we spiritually discipline ourselves to such stringent self-judgment, how shall we ever truly appreciate the mercy with which God tempers His justice toward us, not to mention the kindness of that one trooper who let me off?
Issues Etc. is underwritten in part locally by Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran is located at 5600 Old Collinsville Road in Fairview Heights. The Reverend Randy Emmons is the pastor. Their phone number, 618-632-6906. 632-6906. Bethany Lutheran Church in Fairview Heights. www.bethanylcms.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's what we like to call happy hour Issues Etc. Ladies drink free. When we have an hour like this with Jennifer Roback Morse here in Studio A, we're asking about women remaining informed in an information age, and we're asking you women, but you men too as well, how do you stay informed? What are your major sources of information? I mentioned before the break that the voting public doesn't consider it very important to be informed on presidential politics until about 3 weeks before. This is generally speaking, 3 weeks before the election, that's when people start paying attention, they say. What about you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers during this hour with Jennifer Roback Morse will receive a CD featuring Jennifer called The Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, and a copy of her new booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Before we go to the phones, really quick, you wanted to mention four words.
Oh, you want to hear the four magic words
yes,
already?
Yes, I want to hear the four magic words.
You want to hear
words.
Them already?
Yes.
Not, you don't want to wait till the end of the show? I mean, what if people tune out? Oh, my God. Well, okay, well, I'll be happy to tell you the four magic words. The four magic words that will... You don't even have to say these magic words. You just have to think them. The four magic words are winning is for losers. Winning is for losers.
Now, you have to explain them, of course.
Well, you see, most quarrels in marriages are not about the ostensible topic of the quarrel. If you're quarreling about what to have for dinner or where to go on vacation or how to line the socks up on the drawer, that is not a quarrel about socks or food. That is a quarrel about winning, about who's going to prevail, about who's going to dominate. And when I say winning is for losers, what I mean is that if you really believe in yourself, if you really have a strong sense of yourself and a strong ego, you don't need to win every single little quarrel that comes down the pike. I mean, winning an unimportant argument is not a sign of strength. Winning an unimportant argument is a sign of weakness. And if you have to win every single argument that comes down the pike, you're going to be very difficult for people to live with. Not just your spouse, but everybody else around you too. So that's why I say winning is for losers. So you just keep that in your mind the next time you're willing to have a quarrel with somebody. And it will at least slow you down before those words go racing out of your mouth that you then can't take back very easily.
Good advice. I used to advise in premarital counseling the men, throw a few fights. That's what I always used to say. It never hurts to throw a fight or two, especially when it doesn't matter. You know, you can take a punch and fall down, and I don't mean literally take a punch, but it's okay to throw a few fights.
That's a great way to put it. That's a guy way of putting it. That's a very good way to put it. I like that. I like that. That's really good. But, you know, I think men and women alike get their egos wrapped up in whether they prevail or not. And, you know, there's a lot in our culture that says to us, this sort of cultural buzz, we've been talking about the media, that, you know, it's, I would call it the cultural buzz that tells you that having good self-esteem means that you assert yourself all the time, you see, and that it means that you prevail. And if you really feel good about yourself, you're going to stick up for yourself, by golly. And I just think that's a big mistake. You know, I think that's completely backwards. A lot of people of my generation, I'm 50. You hear that? I say that out on the radio that I'm 50 years old. I'm a boomer. A lot of us got the idea that that's what it meant to be a liberated woman, was to assert yourself all the time. And you know what? That just really doesn't work. That's for losers. So if you just put that thought in your mind, that's one of many of the tips that are in my booklet, 101 Tips.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Carol is calling from her car. Carol, welcome to Issues, Etc. Carol, welcome. Let's see what Kathy has to say. She calls from St. Charles. Kathy, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was wondering to know what your guest thought she mentioned the statistic that is not very well known, that women are the ones who seek the divorce out. Did you say two-thirds of the time?
Two-thirds to three-quarters, depending on the study and how you define initiates, but yes, that's right.
Now, is this? Do you think this is any way related to women in our society being more educated and feeling that they can leave, that they don't have to quote unquote put up with such and such or so and so, and so because of that they feel they have more freedom as in the past, and so they are the ones initiating it? Was it a shift in initiation?
Kathy, stay on hold. We'll send you a copy of both the CD, Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, featuring Jennifer Roback Morrison, also her booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Jennifer.
That's a great question as to why this shift is occurring. And I think it is a shift. It's a shift that has taken place in the period after so-called no-fault divorce. The education point is part of it. I think you're quite right that women feel they don't have to put up with a bad marriage anymore. But the interesting point is that, you know, men don't have to put up with a bad marriage anymore either. And so the question is, why should it be more women than men who are initiating divorces? And I think there are a number of possible reasons. One thing is that in some states, you see there's a correlation here with the states where women are more likely to get sole custody of the children. This is one of the things that it's correlated with, that if you can get a divorce and maintain sole custody of your children, basically without giving an account of yourself and why you're getting a divorce and so on, that's where you're more likely to see more women suing for divorce. Because after all, they can get the major asset of the marriage, the kids. They don't have to account for themselves. And the husband then still has to pay and still has to support them. So, gosh, I can take care of my kids. I can have my kids. I can have a lot of the assets of the marriage, and he has to pay, and I don't have to put up with this pesky guy who's kind of a nuisance to me. And so that's one reason. Another reason, a theory of mine, it's kind of a pet theory, but a theory of mine is that it's been shown that women tend to get more upset by quarrels and by problems in the marriage. You know, there are a lot of things that will just roll off of a guy's back and just it just doesn't bother him. But the next day, the wife is still upset about it. And that has actually been scientifically proven. Researchers at The Ohio State University followed people and studied them and measured the levels of stress hormones. And the next day after a quarrel, they induced quarrels in newlyweds, if you can imagine such an experiment. And then the next day, they tested their stress hormones and found out that the women are it's still bugging them. The next day, it's still bothering them. You know, it's like, how could you say that to me? You know, and so if you can walk away from a marriage at relatively low cost, and that's what we're talking about in modern times is relatively low cost, the person who's bothered by that stuff, I think, is going to have a greater incentive to do just that. And so one of the things I tried to do in the booklet, of course, is to talk to people about how to manage your stress. If you're going to stay married, male or female, both, you have to manage your stress level, and you have to take some responsibility for managing your stress level. So there are a whole section of tips that deal just with that point. That's something that each person can do on their own, so that instead of sitting there white-knuckling the arms of your chair because you're so angry at your spouse, something that they said 2 days ago, you can do some other things to get yourself into a clearer frame of mind.
Why is it, do you think, on the question of staying informed in an information age, why do you think it is that the voting public, the people most likely to vote, feel no real need to get informed on, quote-unquote, the issues until about a month before the presidential elections on that subject alone?
You know, that's a very good question. I think part of it is, of course, that people have other things to do, and there's an immediacy about the election that makes it, that just brings it all into focus. And so, in a certain sense, it's perfectly reasonable that they shouldn't spend that much time on the issues. The other thing is that if you look at modern campaigns, much of the campaign is driven not by issues, but by personality and by your level of trust in the individual. What do you think what kind of person is this? Is this a person that you trust? Is this a person that you would have over for dinner? I mean, a lot of the questions, if you look at them, have to do with that. And that's also reasonable, because you don't know what kind of curveball public policy is going to throw at this president, this person, if they're a president or a candidate, if they win the election. But you want somebody that you can trust in some fundamental way. And so, therefore, that's why so much attention is put on to the question of what's this person's character. It's really, I think, quite reasonable to ask that question. And then, as far as the issues are concerned, really people are, in a sense, running on the brand names of the parties. And so the brand names are pretty well established. You're not going to change them all that much in the short time that's allotted to between now and the election. So I think that's part of the reason that's happening to us, Todd.
You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're taking your phone calls on how to stay informed in an information age with Jennifer Roback Morse. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're giving away to the best callers during this hour both the CD, Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, and this booklet by Jennifer Roback Morse, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Now, when we're asking for your... When we're asking from you how you stay informed, just a simple survey. We're not going to be asking any trick questions. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Car phone callers, first-time callers, and Internet callers, as usual, get top priority. Let's talk with Steve, who calls from his car. Steve, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi. Really enjoying the show, as I did yesterday with your same guest.
Thanks, Steve.
I'm just wondering what your opinion on possibly the fact that our failure to stay informed, and I stay informed through the Internet and a lot of talk radio because I spend a lot of time in my car, but as a people, our failure to stay informed has maybe led to some of the decline in our Republican form of government, if you will, and our some of the scandals that we've seen both in the business world and in government over the last few decades.
Very good question.
We've kind of failed to stay watchdogs on our leaders.
Thank you, Steve.
I really agree with the thrust of what you're saying. That's why I'm so concerned about it, Steve. You know, I really want to see people get better informed about more substantial matters than somebody's personality. I mean, I just think there is a lot at stake. And I think that information equals accountability. You see, this is the thing. And the scandals that you're mentioning, both the corporate scandals and the government scandals, you know, you have to, of course, have a sense of outrage. You have to have enough sense of right and wrong that you give a darn whether somebody's cheating you or not, or whether somebody's perjuring themselves, or, you know, the other various kinds of scandals that we've had go on. But so you have to have a basic moral compass, but you also have to be informed, and you have to have some accurate facts, and there has to be some sense of shame that people would have about lying to you. And this is, I think, one of the most difficult things. I personally, one of my little bugbears is that it really, really bothers me that the left has been screaming at us that George Bush lied, when what they really mean is George Bush didn't have full information, as no one had full information. And to turn that to turn being ill-informed or making your best guess based on the information at hand, to turn that into the moral equivalent of a lie, you know, a president who perjured himself under oath. I mean, these are not morally equivalent. They're not equivalent in terms of character or judgment or anything else. And that deliberate obfuscation of important distinctions, that really bugs me. And so I agree with what you're saying very much. I very much agree with the thrust of what Steve is saying.
I'm wondering about that group of voters that says, look, I think we ought to hold everyone accountable, especially those who govern us. But most of the time, those who govern us have so little to say. When they talk, words come out, but there's no meaning there. It's generally just kind of an empty phrase and as we might say, also maybe an empty promise along with it. Someone gets done, a president, a congressman, with an interview or with a speech, and you can boil down what they really said in its substance sometimes to less than a sentence. So why listen? Because they're not informing me.
Well, I think that's right. I think that is what people are doing. That's why people would rather listen to Sean Hannity than the average politician. I don't think there's any question about that. But all is not lost, because the fact that people are on the radio talking about substantial matters, that helps keeps the politicians accountable, too. Then it's harder for them to run for cover. And, you know, they're still going to do it, and they're still going to succeed a lot of the time with giving out a fluff speech and so on. But people are starting to expect more, and I think that can only be a good thing. And I think that's one of the great contributions of talk radio, is people are kept on their toes in a way they wouldn't otherwise be.
Are we living in an age, Jennifer, where there is, in terms of information, the haves and the have-nots? And I can only think of perhaps the most egregious example is Jay Leno on the Tonight Show. Sorry to make reference to television, but here it is. Jay Leno on the Tonight Show, perhaps on a weekly basis, does what he calls man on the street. I think that's what he calls it, where he goes down outside of the studios in Burbank where they do their show, and he talks to people on the street, and he asks them very simple questions. He asks them, who's the president of the United States? He asks them, who's the vice president? Who's running for the Democratic ticket? Who was the former leader of Iraq? Simple questions, very basic questions. And, of course, the comedy of the whole bit is that people don't know. And he is just asking people on the street.
Yeah, that's sad. That's really sad. And I used to be shocked about that when we took foster kids into our home, that a lot of times we get kids who didn't know who the first president was and who didn't know the difference between a city and a state. I feel better about my kids now that you're telling me that this is a regular feature here, that people don't know who the president is and stuff like that. But, you know, doggone it, most of those people own TVs, don't they? Most of those people can read, can't they? Most of those people have radios in their car, don't they? The media is not doing its job if people don't know who's the president. You know, there's something wrong with this picture. So, and most of those people have been through school. So somehow or another, people are not learning. They're not learning to get information. They're not learning to take it in. They're not learning to use it. And that is very sad. I'm glad I don't have TV, Todd. You just made me glad again.
Okay, so let's go to the thing that you're fond of. The next level up in this ignorance gap or this information gap is the person who does listen to talk radio. They listen religiously to talk radio. They love it because, say, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, or any of the others, perhaps even Todd Wilkin, says what they believe, and they say it in a way that they've always wanted to be able to say it. The same person, however, when talking over the fence to their neighbor at a barbecue, can reiterate what Rush or someone else has said, but they can't explain it, and they can't defend it. How much are they really informed if all they can do is repeat what they've heard on talk radio?
Well, you know, one of the sad things that I think that reflects is not so much that they're not informed, but that we've lost kind of the art of conversation, and we've lost the art of genuine communication. What we've got are a lot of one-way conversations here. Say, I'm talking to a whole bunch of people who can't talk back. So there are people out there driving around in their cars, and they're, you know, probably aggravated with me, and there are other people who think I'm great or whatever, or people who want to ask me something, or people want to holler at me. But it's a one-way conversation. And so we have lots and lots of one-way conversations in this society. And so that means the art of backing up what you say has kind of dropped out of the picture. And that's consequence of the mass media altogether and spending so much time in mass media rather than sitting down and talking to people. You know, that's the virtue of having no TV in the house is that people talk to each other a little bit more. And so, you know, I don't want to make this a program where I bash TV, but we do need to talk to each other and not just have one-way conversations.
I'm wondering if we have any mothers of small children who are listening to the program. I want to hear from you in the next 10 minutes, those 10 minutes with Jennifer Roback Morse here in Studio A, talking about staying informed in an information age. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Where do you get your information? I know how busy you are, but where do you get it, and what is the best source of information as far as you're concerned? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll send each caller in the next 10 minutes a copy of the CD, The Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, featuring Jennifer Roback Morse, and a copy of her new booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
You know, there's one topic we haven't touched on, and that's the magazine, the news magazine. You know, one thing I really like about a magazine, as opposed to any of the other things that we've talked about, is you can put it in the bathroom. And for a young mom's, the bathroom's a great place to read. You close that door, you got a few minutes of privacy. I always have something by my in my bathroom. You can also stick it in your diaper bag. You can stick it in your beach bag. And, you know, you're out there and you've got a place where the kids are playing. You can kind of pull that out and you can read a 500-word article or a 700-word article. Maybe, yeah, maybe not. But you can read a couple of paragraphs and then somebody falls off the swing and you have to go deal with that. But you can take that with you in a way that you cannot take the internet or the newspaper.
Give me your recommendation. Then, because if you've seen the average newsstand nowadays, it's full of magazines. And aside from the ones that draw women's attention, like Red Book and all the other things that you could see, the news magazines, we've got Time, Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report, you've got the New Republic, you've got National Review, you've got all these things. If you were the young mother who had only those few minutes, which one would you buy to inform yourself?
Well, what I read the Weekly Standard, I read National Review. And my other favorite, all-time favorite magazines are First Things, which is deeper and more spiritual, but I love First Things. And I also like Commentary Magazine, which is put out by the American Jewish Committee, very, very fine information on foreign policy and topics I wouldn't get anyplace else. So those are my favorite magazines as far as being informed by magazine. That's what I like to carry around. That's what you'll find in my beach bag.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Albert is calling from his car. Albert, welcome.
Thank you. My question is, in media, they're interviewing somebody, and they respond with their answers. They just sort of go with the answer, and they don't question whether it's accurate or not.
Great point, Albert.
See what you're saying, Albert.
Great point, Albert. You know, a lot of times, if they like what the person's saying, if the interviewer likes what the person is saying, they'll just let it slide right by, and they won't question, they won't pin them on the spot, pin them down on the details, or really hold them accountable for what they're saying. I think that's a great point.
Now, is part of that because in the commercial medium, where commercials dominate the time sometimes, in the commercial medium, the time is so short, you want to ask five questions. You're lucky if you get five questions in. There's no time for a follow-up. I can hear the producer yapping in the guy's ear saying, no time for a follow-up, get on to the next question. We've only got 3 more minutes with this person.
Well, I think it depends on the context, because a lot of times the follow-up is the story. And it just, I think there are a lot of softball things that go by that shouldn't be allowed to go by.
Before we go, your perennial favorite and the old and enduring standard for information is the book. Talk about the pros and cons.
Well, you know, books last, and books are where you can get your information of substance that you can return to again and again. And you can take books on the toilet, you know, and you can take books in the beach bag, you know, that works too, especially if they come out in paperback and so on. So they have the portability feature to them. And the publisher that I write with is Spence Publishing, and they have a lot of fabulous books, including, if I may say so, my book, Love and Economics. And they are, in fact, managing the sales of Love and Economics, as well as of the CD we've been talking about in the booklet. And in fact, you can get the booklet absolutely free if you purchase both the book and the CD through Spence Publishing. You can get the booklet thrown in as a premium. So if you don't mind, may I give out the phone number to Spence Publishing?
In fact, I'll be happy to do that for you. It's 1-888-SPEN-PUB. Now, I had a question from a listener about this. It's SPENPUB. Would you give the numbers, Jennifer?
The digits go like this. It's 888-773-6782.
And the website for Spence Publishing as well. They're also available there. SpencePublishing.com. All one word, SpencePublishing.com. They need to ask for the book, Love and Economics, Why the Laissez-Faire Family Doesn't Work. If they purchase that along with the CD featuring Jennifer Roback Morse, Myths of the Sexual Revolution, Why Recreational Sex is No Fun, they'll also receive absolutely free the booklet, 101 Tips, brand new from Jennifer Roback Morse, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. With only a minute here, give us your best bullet points, the primary subjects that not only women but everyone needs to remain informed upon in this information age. What are the subjects?
Well, I think you need to be informed about the real truth about marriage and family and human sexuality, because there's so much hype that is put out on those topics. And the hype comes at you in the entertainment media as well as through the so-called information media as well. So you really need to get an accurate picture about what is really going on in the area of marriage and the family, because that's the area, that's where you live. Everybody lives there. So that is one very important area. You also need to be informed about the basics of politics, the basics of what's going on, and it's good to have some good background of historical knowledge and knowledge of how our country works and things like that. And so it's always good to pick up a good book on those kinds of subjects and just kind of go through it and enjoy it again. I was out at the Gateway Arch, I was at the Arch and looking at the bookstore and just enjoying my memories of reading Undaunted Courage, the book by Stephen Ambrose. My golly, that's a great book. And there are a lot of great books that really give you a good feeling about America, and you need to read those every once in a while, too.
Jennifer Roback Morse is a research fellow at the Hoover Institute, author of the book Love and Economics, Why the Laissez-Faire Family Doesn't Work, and she's written this booklet, 101 Tips for a Happier Marriage. Jennifer, it's been a pleasure having you here in Studio A both today and yesterday. I wish you a safe journey along with your daughter here back to California.
Thanks, Todd.
When we come back from this break, we're going to spend an hour with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, continuing our 8-part series, this time part 5, on Christianity and civil law. Just another effort to keep you informed in an information age. We're going to be talking about human dignity in law with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.